On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Audio Whiplash. Rob is back with us again after I rode solo on the last show that has received mixed reviews since it happened. He might be happy to learn that the hashtag Fire Rob campaign has been replaced with Maybe Rob's Not So Bad. Following
yes. that. Awesome.
Yeah. You've won them over via your absence, which whatever it takes, I guess.
And my huge intellect.
Anyway, we'll let you run with that, man.
Yes.
Whatever fills you with self-confidence to
That's what
to
it
get
is
into
right
this.
There. Self-promotion.
So I wanted to touch on this just briefly because I already addressed it in the last Tall Can sports show, but not everybody listens to the sports one. Last weekend, we managed to surpass what I thought was a pretty decent milestone considering that we're only just a month into this now, having reached our 1,000th listener. So if you want to get the whole story on that, you can go back and listen to the last edition of Tall Can Sports. But I did want to thank everyone who had checked it out, as well as knowing that Nate and Rob maybe didn't listen to the last show. Maybe they did.
Of course we did.
Yeah, but wanted to thank them as well for their contributions and their knowledge and their personalities that have certainly been useful going forward into these shows.
Useful. Great word.
Well, I didn't want to tell you about your huge intellect since you've already dubbed
right.
yourself.
How instrumental I was and all those other things.
Right.
Useful.
That's what we'll give you.
Hey, how was my dinner? It was fine. Yeah.
That's about it, though.
Right. I get it.
So, as is sometimes the case, I don't like to give Rob everything we're going to do ahead of time. We normally will exchange a couple of emails before showtime. You know, a couple of show notes, maybe a couple of articles on what we're going to talk about. I have three headlines here.
This is the segment called What's in Rob's Head?
It's usually a short segment, but we're going to continue it.
That's the segment called What's in Rob's Head that's useful.
So we have three headlines, two of which we're going to discuss, and I think perhaps Rob and our mostly male audience may be disappointed here. The first headline, I'll let you guess at which one we won't be discussing.
Caitlyn Jenner and transformation.
See, I didn't really want to touch that with Caitlyn Jenner's formerly 10-foot pole. So Bruce, we will.
Nice. I have a huge appetite for women. So says Bruce.
So we will carry on. The first headline, Trump mindlessly rambles his way into presidential race. The second headline, Trudeau ruffles feathers with campaign promises. The third headline, and maybe my favorite headline that I've seen in a very long time, breast jiggle physics deemed Well, breast jiggle physics deemed too bouncy in new Street Fighter game.
Wow. But were they bouncy enough to cause an earthquake 5 days later?
Because if that's not the case, they're not bouncy enough.
Jiggly breasts, jiggly enough to anger the gods and cause
I guess this was a big thing.
Really?
This was a thing that it came off CBC News is where I got it, which leads you to all kinds of questions on what your national broadcaster should actually be covering and what's actually news. But
yeah, see, and so jiggly breasts in video games, and of course the Street Fighter franchise, there's a bunch of issues there, right? Because as in with most anime and Japanese originated comics and cartoons and video games, these girls probably look like 13-year-old girls to begin with.
But with
huge jiggly breasts, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And apparently, most of these game people, like game experts who look at these things, that the game hasn't even come out yet. It was previewed at, you know, the equivalent, you know, we've discussed that Apple WWDC conference. Yep. This was Sony's, or the video game industry's thing. So they unveiled this game. And there was this female character, Chun-Li, who was apparently, and as you said, it's kind of predictable in these games that the women are going to be anatomically generous, perhaps, or oversized. But this was...
You mean huge breasts?
Yes.
Because small of stature, most of them.
Yes,
usually.
Absolutely. But this apparently went even above and beyond that, to the point where people were... Now, here's what makes me laugh. Apparently, people were offended, right? And this is going to need to be brought back to scale before it would... The video at the time that this news release came out of the game unveiling had been seen 900,000 times. Do you like to take a guess? After attention was brought to it, how many people went to see the bouncy breasts?
30 million.
22 million people.
Look at that.
22 million views this thing now has seen.
And you know what the thing with that is? So... breasts and jiggly breasts and all that goes along with that, right? And this is going to offend people. Like what? I don't want my 11-year-old boy to be looking at breasts like that. But I'm totally okay with a 450-pound male sumo character picking up that slight female and smashing her down on her head.
Right.
This is totally fine.
That part's okay.
But I don't want to see any jiggly breasts. Honest to God. Well, don't show me that.
It's funny. There have been other people online, males, of course, that, oh, what's the problem, right? They're fine. Leave it. And there is an element to that, right? Like, what are you really complaining? My band rocks too hard. This steak's too juicy. My beer is too delicious. These breasts are too large is kind of the attitude that seems to be taking hold online. Like, leave it alone, right?
Well, this is it. What I'm saying is, and that again is one of those, it's so interesting that violence in general doesn't matter, let alone violence against women, whatever your story is way more acceptable than sexuality.
Apparently.
I don't understand that. How does that work?
So interesting that was actually the headline we weren't going to discuss, but it was too good to just not have something to say on it, right? And as I said, Rob and I typically discuss what we're going to do beforehand. I saw this article earlier this afternoon, and it was something that I certainly needed to add to my notes.
Okay.
As I said, to me, it's the greatest headline I've seen in a serious news outlet in a very long time.
So, but following hard on the heels of that, I touched on it earlier. Do you have any thoughts on that whole, in Malaysia, the 12 tourists who have been arrested and fined and either sentenced to 3 months in jail for stripping on a sacred mountain?
I may have been too busy reading the Bouncy Boob article.
Okay,
you've even
all right,
seen that.
All right, so here's the deal. And so two of them are Canadians.
Okay.
They stripped on this sacred mountain in Malaysia. And so they've now been charged with indecent exposure and angering the gods and causing that huge earthquake 5 days later.
Oh, boy.
This is what's happening. This is an actual, and that was, again, that was on CBC News as well.
They've angered the gods
and
with their nakedness into causing a devastating earthquake.
Now, those would have to be some huge breasts. Now, if you're talking about jiggling breasts, 5 days later, you're going to cause a 5.9 earthquake. You're going to charge me with that?
Wow.
How big's your business?
You better have a set on you before you're making claims like that.
This is exactly, you see that? That's something that if you said in a bar, people would laugh at. You see that?
Or in this room.
That's been said in this room. You see that? 5 days later. That's the butterfly effect to the tenth fold, right? But this is happening in 2015. Your nakedness has offended the gods.
Well, and I think my favorite part to circle back to this was the reporter describing this thing in this video game. They were bouncing ferociously.
Because they're being
a terrific word.
Because they're being kicked. It's most likely what's happened there. You've been punched in them. That's why they're jiggling and bouncing ferociously. or with cruel intentions.
But you just never see that, right? It's never ferocious night at the Jiggly Room, right? Like there's no...
At the Jiggly Room.
You don't think that'd be a great name for a... I'm sure that's a name.
Ferocious night. No.
I'm probably not going into ferocious night. Well,
because that's the talent. That's performing
that's
that
Wednesday
night.
Afternoon.
Exactly.
C-section scar.
Hot on the heels of atrocious Tuesdays.
Oh, dear. Well, if it wasn't mostly men listening before, it's all men now. As any female has probably long since left.
No, females should actually be supporting this because I'm totally with them.
All right. Well, you warm up to who you have to.
Huge breasts, not necessary. Breasts of all sizes should be loved.
I don't have a segue for that.
Yeah, you do. Right into Donald Trump. There's a boob.
All right. See, that's beautiful. That's journalism. That's how you transition gracefully.
That's my half a semester right there, baby.
We were going to talk about Donald Trump next, who this week announced he's going to run for president. Did you see any of the highlights of his speech? Any of his...
I did. I saw him descending down an escalator, which is unbelievable.
Oh, terrific, yeah.
Yeah. And then I...
If we can borrow a line from Jon Stewart of The Daily Show, I believe he called it Stair Force One.
Yeah, and he'd also say, and again, to borrow heavily on Jon Stewart, because it was hilarious when he's talking about, he goes, I've never seen such a grand entrance since my buddy met me at the Gap after hitting Orange Julius. Yeah, down the escalator.
Pretty
here we go.
Pretty much. Boom. Here comes the next president of the United States down the escalator.
And you know what? First of all, he hasn't officially filed. He's only sort of come out and declared that this is his intention. And so I wasn't really up on it, to be honest with you. I was surprised that he's looking for the Republican nomination.
Yeah.
I had sort of assumed that he was going the Ross Perot independent.
And I had this conversation with my old man the other day, and Ross Perot was exactly the name that I used to compare it with, right? Like this guy with just money, 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 money.
And huge ears.
Horrible hair.
How's it going, Jug Handles? No, I'm talking about Ross Perot. Oh. Midget with huge ears. Sorry if you're listening, Ross.
A midget with huge ears.
Exactly.
Put it in the Street Fighter game, let people get
exactly.
upset.
Exactly. Ferocious. Those ears were jiggling ferociously.
The speech was awesome. If you're someone who's looking for something to poke fun at,
I think he's on crack.
Honestly, you're wanting to become a politician, the leader of the free world, and I'm paraphrasing, but I think this is pretty close. When he talked about one of his neighbors, Mexico, they bring drugs. They're rapists. I'm sure some of them are decent people.
They're drug dealers. They're rapists. No, I'm sure some of them are good people.
Right.
No, no offense intended, Mexicans.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, man.
And I'm going to build a huge, huge wall. It has to be two huges, not just one. And the Mexicans are going to pay for it. Really?
And it was this hour of just rambling ridiculousness that, what are you talking? And one of his quotes, what have we ever beaten Japan at?
Well, yeah.
What have you beaten Japan at?
Yeah.
Right? Like, what is it that
I sold my apartment for $15 million to a guy from China.
To a Chinese guy.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, good for you, man. Right? Like,
yeah. You know what? And honestly, he's talking about a variety of things. And see, the thing is, to me, I still believe he has zero intention of running.
See, I think he's in now. I think he said he's doing this.
He has said he's doing it.
Because he's talked about it before the last election as well and never actually this time he has stood up there and declared.
92, he talked about it. 2000, he talked about it.
And 2012, he talked about it.
Right. Yeah. So to me, he's talked about it a lot. And I don't think there's any skin.
He's never done this before, has he? He's never had the official announcement, right?
He's never had the Neil Young soundtrack.
Can you believe that? And I have some notes here on that. That is, that song, and as you said, he's running under the Republican banner. That song is as un-Republican as it gets, and it was actually written in 1989 in response to George H.W. Bush winning for the Republicans.
Right.
It's got this chorus, right? This, let's keep on rocking in the free world. And that's an awesome message if you don't have any problem completely ignoring the verses. And the gist of the song is, everything sucks here. This woman's poor and raising her kid on the street and we're polluting things like it. But hey, let's keep the party going.
Star Wars and the thousand points of light and all these sorts of things. Right.
Everything's coming apart around us, but let's just keep going. It's great, right? We're all doing fine here. And Neil Young has obviously put out a statement since then going, I'd really rather you didn't use my song. Like, we don't agree here. And it's not that much different than, was it Nixon in 84? Or who would it have been in Reagan? No, not Reagan.
Reagan would have been the Republican in 84.
Yeah, it was Reagan. And when he was running, he used Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA, which is another. I like the chorus. It sounds very pro-American. As long as you don't venture into this, oh, we send our guys to war and then have no jobs for them when they get home verses that accompany it. Right. That's not really the platform you want to run on. And
or those Vietnamese are still there, but he's all gone.
Right.
Right? Like my brother who...
Yeah. Not a great message. And again, I think at that point I read Bruce put out a statement that kind of went... I'm paraphrasing. Are you fucking crazy? Listen to the song, man. I'm not supporting you. This is not good.
We all dig on the chorus.
Sure. Anyway, yeah, that was a minor thing, the use of the song, but it kind of shows how out of touch the guy might be, right?
Right. Like, and to me, he also went into a huge spiel on how much he owns and his golf courses and his hotels and all these other things, right? And
flat out said, I'm rich. I'm worth $8 billion. Not assets, net worth, right? You go, all right, man.
Yeah. And if that wasn't enough, I have $9.2 billion in assets.
Yeah.
Really? Like, I think now you're just, I think this smacks of Ed Belfour. Drunk and telling the police officers, listen, if you let me go, I'll give you $1 billion. Okay, Ed.
Aren't you making $2 million a year?
Yeah.
How long's your career been?
Exactly. You're banking on future profits for sure. And you know what? And so he's obviously, and it's not just an American thing. It's people in general and people who have money, they equate that to, okay, I'm rich. Therefore, I'm intelligent, right? And the two things aren't the same, right?
No.
Well, and in fact, there was I had read somewhere that it said, this is not to mention at all that his businesses have declared bankruptcy three separate times, right?
That doesn't matter.
You're right, but you don't have that opportunity when you're running a government.
No, America can't declare bankruptcy.
If they could, they're there.
Oh, yeah. How many trillion?
Trillion, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. As soon as you put the big TR in the front of that, you, my friend,
fold up shop, it's
are in trouble. But you don't have that option. Oh, shit, that didn't work.
No. Yeah.
Scrap that. Start again. Yeah. You know what? To me, again.
I'd be the best jobs president God ever created. And that was not accidental either, to throw the I'm not taking a statement on religion here, but I'm throwing God into this because I need those people as well, right? The pro, especially if you're going to run as a Republican, you better be a believer, right?
And him talking about, okay, job creation, and I'm going to be the jobs president, and I'm going to do this. Yeah. And then he's talking about websites and whatever else and the costs, and he's saying, I got a pile of websites and they cost me $3. Where do you think he's getting that done? Is that by good North American paid employees? No.
Seems rather unlikely.
That seems to be probably done in Bangladesh, Pakistan. Like, honestly, so you're going to be a guy who's called, I'm the jobs president. But I'm having my stuff done overseas for $3. Why would I pay an American guy $30 an hour? I'm going to pay that fine Pakistani fella.
And he sits there and he's talking about how they're botching ISIS. And I beat ISIS. How? Take a stand. Tell me how you're beating ISIS. Right? Like, okay, you disagree with how the current leaders. This is the easiest part of any election, is to just stand there. And, look how bad this guy sucks.
And he's already botched that.
Yep.
Honestly, with the stupidity he threw out there yesterday.
I believe he just stood there with no real specifics and said, our leaders are losers. He used that word like 4 times.
Yeah.
They're losers. And you go, okay.
I'm a winner. I'm rich. They're losers.
Right. I'll beat ISIS. They can't beat ISIS.
Yeah, with concrete plans. Yeah. No doubt. The Donald.
Yeah. So some unbelievable stuff in terms of...
You know what?
Here's the thing. You've said you don't think he's actually going to do it.
I don't think he's going to do it.
Is there not a small part of you and everything?
That hopes he does?
Well, okay. Because material for this show to be amazing if he actually does. Is there not a small part of you that fears that if he does, there's a chance he wins?
Zero.
See, and that's what I've read everywhere. No one seems to... In this ridiculous society we live in, I know that guy from TV and all. Wouldn't it be funny if we voted our guy into what? It scares the shit out of me that this guy might get some traction because he's a celebrity and we value celebrities and we know celebrities more than we're Paul. And if it becomes a trend or if it becomes something to do, let's vote for Donald. What's the worst that could happen? It doesn't really matter, right? Oh, fuck. Like...
Yeah.
If it becomes a thing that drifts down to that younger, everyone always says they want the young to vote. I don't think you want the young to vote if this guy's one.
See, and you look at Ronald Reagan, right? Who was an actor, right?
Yeah.
He came from Hollywood. Yep. He did westerns, and he did that series with that, I don't know, chimp, horse, whatever it was. I don't. I have no idea.
Yeah.
His co-star was an animal.
Was he the man in the yellow hat working with Curious George?
No, but it was a chimp. I'm almost positive it was a chimp.
All right.
But anyways, he was also, it wasn't like he just went, yeah, I've made a pile of cake in Hollywood. I'm just going to go right into politics, right? He ran in California. He became governor of California,
right,
which is where all the whack jobs apparently.
How's it going, Arnold?
Yeah, Sonny Bono, Clint Eastwood. Now, I'm not saying Clint's a wacko.
I'll say it.
Okay. But anyways, that seems to be, but he was governor of California before he was ever ran on a Republican nomination, right? And so.
But I can kind of wrap my head around that. I've done this, and now I'd like to try this.
Exactly.
And that's
what I'm saying, right? Yeah. Is you develop that and you have some credibility beyond that whack job thing where people say, hey, that's the guy with the monkey. I'd love for him to be president.
Monkey President seems like an awesome kids movie.
I bet you he never would have let that, whole thing in Iran go down.
Isn't that what the South is calling Obama? Oh, sorry. That's no good. The Monkey President. Uncomfortable silence and moving on.
Crickets. Crickets. I don't know what you're talking about.
Not on this side of the desk. I'm enjoying that.
The fox is out of the hole. The fox is out of the hole.
You know, it's one of those things where I wouldn't be surprised if he ran, and I wouldn't be surprised if, because we suck,
he gets some traction.
We suck.
All right.
We suck. We go along with whatever the Americans. We won't get to vote.
Can we talk more about Caitlyn Jenner's ass? Is that going to happen here?
I'd happily give you your own show if that's something that you'd like a call in, right?
a call in show, and it's the one guy in rubber boots. What are you wearing? Don't worry about what I'm wearing. Do you have an opinion or no?
We've gone rapidly off the rails here and into an inside joke that only two people understand. And unless James Duthie's listening. So
that's true.
And he might be.
Hello, James.
It just frightens me that we do stupid shit, right? This would be funny. Let's vote for this or let's get on board.
Yeah.
There's enough idiots in not America, North America. I'm not excluding us from this, but we don't get to vote.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And see, the thing is, and I think what puts a lid on that type of stupidity is the fact that he wants to run and get the Republican nomination, right? He has to get that nomination, right? So he has to do that.
And it should be mentioned he's got to beat Jeb Bush.
Right. Because forever and eternally, there's a Bush running for president.
We need more
Bush. Yeah, no, that's not true either. I don't know who said that ever.
But vote for Jeb as a certain Southern ring to it. That
Jeb Stuart, good Civil War guy.
Yeah, see, I don't think I know any other Jebs.
Okay. Well, Jeb Stuart, now you do. So.
Not really. I'd know a name now.
Okay, yeah, all right.
So, but. That no matter what you think of the Bushes, they will have the right strategists. They will have the right people running this, right? They have the name recognition now.
See,
that's going to work against them in some areas.
Well,
but
you know what? It won't run. It won't work against them in the Republican area.
No,
circles,
it will not. No,
right? And so, to me, also Jeb is, and I don't know a pile about him. I know Governor of Florida, all that stuff.
Yeah.
He is also the sort of the more low key of the two sons.
Wouldn't
right?
you have to be?
Yeah, exactly.
What's George Bush with the volume turned up look like? Yeah. Oh dear.
Oh my goodness. But so, you know, you being a 24 guy.
Yeah.
You have to work your way through that. It's like an election before an election, right? To gain the Republican nomination and that'll never happen. If he was running it as an independent, where there was no, he wasn't seeking a nomination as a party leader, then maybe you can entertain that whole outside, long shot, dark horse candidacy thing that you're talking about. But
I'm scared. America scares me.
Okay. He'd have to win that candidacy and then beat the Democratic.
Which is Hillary.
Right. Well, and you know what? Okay. Interesting. You know what? I think there's a way better chance. You're looking at America now, all kinds of, and I won't say taboos because that's not where I'm going with this, but in terms of glass ceilings and all kinds of stuff like that, right? Black president, boom, right through that glass ceiling. Logical, easy. Next is a female president, right? Boom. So.
Are they ready? Are they going from one to the other that quick?
Yeah, for sure they are.
Okay.
For sure, especially if the Republicans are going to keep lobbing up buffoons, why would you not? That makes it so easy.
Yeah, okay, but in what world was George Bush ever supposed to become president? When you look at his botched military record and his flunking out of school and his running companies into the ground.
Well, you know what? I can't become commissioner of Major League Baseball. So looking
around,
be president. What about president of the United States?
And then I'll get rid of the commissioner of baseball. Which is really, they should have just, hindsight being what it is, Bud should have just stepped aside and let him be president or commissioner of baseball. Would have saved a lot of lives. It would have probably, undone a lot of headaches.
But Bud.
This Bud's for you.
Yeah, exactly. Bud, I hate Bud Selig. Sorry, Bud, if you're listening to.
Down with Bud, up with Jeb.
Up with Jeb. Or Beege in reverse.
Awesome. So we've had our own ridiculousness on this side of the border as
well. And ridiculousness.
Well, in comparison to.
Exactly. You're going to dial it back. You dial it back, big fella.
Whatever. We're a simple people up
it's
here.
It's the big fish. We're not simple.
Some of us are simple.
Yeah, true. Very true. And we'll let the listeners decide who that is.
Might be some of them.
Oh, that's...
Well, look what they're listening. Look what they entertain themselves with.
I can't believe that. An unprovoked assault on the good listener.
So, Justin Trudeau threw out some campaign promises this week. The one that caught my eye, and there was a few, but the one that caught my eye the most was what I deemed to be, just to make sure if there is one or two female listeners left, they are headed out the door now, a promise that the cabinet would be equal parts men and women.
Ridiculous.
And it is ridiculous. And it's not ridiculous in an anti-female kind of way.
For sure.
Let's assume in whatever capacities that he's got seven women and three men in his cabinet, or what, he's got to cut two women to get to this ridiculous promise that he's made.
Yeah, because how about we go with an all-female cabinet?
Right.
Like, honestly, if that's what you want to do, how about, and I'm sure any woman out there would say the same thing, how about having the best people
exactly
in there? Because and what makes this farcical is when you look at one of the other promises, and I don't want to jump ahead of the queue here, if you were going in this other direction, was the other promise was electoral reform. Yes. And I am going to tie these two things together, because he's saying he'd like to scrap or abolish the whole first past the post, right? Where you can become the majority with only 40%, right? So how can you say, yeah, that's no good. That the true voice of the Canadian voter is not being represented there, but then say, well, we have seven female MPs and 30 males, but that means all seven of them, if I have 14 cabinet spots, seven women and that's seven men. How can you go with equal representation on the one side and then totally not advocate the same thing when you're talking about your own cabinet? You, my friend,
are falling into those commercials that are running about you.
Exactly.
Just not experienced enough, right?
Well, or just...
I'm not saying not... I'd never vote for him. I'm just saying not ready, not now.
Right. And so
horrible commercial.
And let's look at...
Have you seen those?
Yeah.
Before we carry...
Well, you know what?
Do you think the diversity in those is accidental? We got a senior. We got a woman. We got an immigrant. We got,
right.
The only thing we're missing is the flagrant homosexual, right? I mean, I guess one of the characters in there could be a homosexual, but he's not being portrayed...
They're counting on the viewers.
...gay enough, I guess, right? Like you're going to have to figure that out. Sit back and that guy's gay.
And so the thing is... A, no, it's not, but that's also very Canadian because...
Oh, it's just terrible.
You know, and
don't make it so transparent.
And I hearken back to the 92 World Series.
Okay.
Right? Atlanta, Toronto. And we're bringing out the flags. And we didn't botch it and fly it upside down like the Americans did.
Yeah, they flew our flag upside down for those who didn't know.
Yeah, so you have the U.S. Marine Color Guard bringing out the Stars and Stripes. And you have... four Marines who look like they could have been all cut from the same cookie cutter, you know, 6'1", 205, brush cut, identical. That is the look we're going for. And, you know, they're all looking trim in their dress uniforms. Then we bring out the four Mounties carrying the Canadian flag, and you have a Sikh, so a guy with a turban. You have a fat guy with a mustache and a comb over. You have a fat woman and a black guy. So so you look at these Americans going, bam, there's our Marines. We're sending these out. This is what we want to project to the world. And then here's what Canada's got. Boom. That's what we want to project to the world. Invade that country right now.
Get them.
So no, to me, that is... for you to speak with that commercial. And now
it drives me crazy. Just don't be so transparent.
Like, right.
It's clear what you want to say here, but just...
Yeah, we're inclusive. We're open to everybody. God. And you know what? If you've never got off the couch, you can become a Mountie. No problems. So
fat mustachioed woman?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
You know what? Fat mustachioed woman with a turban. Wrap it all up into one and just send one person out with it.
And then can we send out three... military-looking people, if we've covered all the minorities in one...
Yes.
Then we can have a couple of people who look like they can fight, defend a nation.
If we can have it all wrapped up into one, that is perfect.
And you know, it's It started to rain here, which is probably means we've upset some god somewhere. Yeah. I'm not sure the mic's picking it up. I'm sorry if it is. We've kind of stepped out of the soundproof booth here.
Throw a hood on that engine.
The gods have been angered by...
Your nudity. Just in case you didn't know, it's also been very hot here.
Sitting back, doing the show naked in a beanbag chair, eating Cheetos.
Yes. That was last week hosting solo.
Of course it was. That's it.
And that's why he hosted solo.
I had a co-host and they ran screaming from the room.
For sure. For sure.
So, you know, Trudeau... I don't know how you come back from that.
Well, you know how you come back to it is we just circle right back to the whole first past the post, yeah. Right? So an absolute.
But one of the things he said is, we're going to make it easier for you to vote and understand, but it's going to be mandatory.
Oh yeah, exactly. Don't tell me you're going to make it easy, but then potentially mandatory.
Right. What does that mean? By punishment of what? If I decide I don't like any of these leaders.
I imagine it'll be a lot like not paying any fines when you go to renew your license, all that kind of stuff. They say, hey.
You didn't vote.
You ne'er-do-well. Well, how about you provide me with a couple candidates?
Right. And man, there are no candidates.
What if I don't like the look of the cut of your jib?
I've been absolutely... That's right, I said jib. Yeah, really. I've been torched for this view in the past, but I have never been...
Be prepared to be torched again.
I have never been a conservative guy.
Okay, you're not going to be torched here.
Hold on. In 2011, watching the debates and watching, the hell was his name? Ignatieff was gone by then.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
French liberal leader. And Jack Layton.
Oh, crazy eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are people screaming at their stereos right now.
Yeah, well, phone in. Text. If you're listening to this right now.
Call 1-800. You don't know.
Yeah, exactly. You better ask somebody.
Yeah, see, this is the second straight show I've had you on. So.
And I said that?
Yeah, twice in the last one.
Okay, get some new
material. You're out here in the street.
Get some new material.
So, him, Dion. It was something Dion. Dion?
Yeah, Steph.
Yeah.
And why don't you go with Steve?
Steve Dion.
Yes.
You'd get Don Cherry's vote.
Okay.
So he's on the debates arguing like petulant children with Jack Layton. And no one's saying anything. They're just, yeah, but you don't go and you this and... And Harper is almost standing back like the father figure with his arms crossed looking at the camera going, I'm telling you, right? Like, these are the guys you want to vote for?
Clowns.
And I sat back and I watched that. And I watched... the way he actually answered questions instead of just threw allegations around. And in the last election, I voted for the conservatives because he was the only one of those guys that looked like a head of state to me.
Really? That haircut says...
More than Stephon Dion did.
No, more than Steve Dion.
Stevie D.
Stevie D had way better hair. And you know what?
And I understand the Queen is actually our head of state, but he's the only one that said to me, I at least have an idea of what I wanted to. And we had just had minority after minority after minority government, and nothing got done, and it would get dissolved, and we'd have an election, and it got ridiculous. So I threw my hat in with, all right, here's your 5 years. Let's see what you can do with it.
Or unless it's 3.5 and...
He got a majority, right?
I know, but at 3.5 and then the climate looks good.
He's feeling good,
I'm thinking this is the best time. We're going to call a flash election.
Which wasn't the case.
Yeah, no, clearly not. Clearly not.
So, but to me, that stuff matters, right? Am I a right-wing conservative guy? No. Do I think these clowns are ready to run the country? No. So, you kind of have to... It's not a cut-and-dry issue, right?
And you know what the thing is debates... People rarely.
Which apparently, we're not going to have anymore.
People rarely win debates. People lose debates, right? It's people coming across as just as you're talking about. Maybe Harper just doesn't do anything.
And he didn't really have to. And those two destroyed each other.
I'm just going to slide along the side here. Ooh, watch that. Look at that train wreck.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was it. They just threw allegations at each other. They weren't capable of answering. When someone says to you. I don't remember what it was. Probably Dion at the time that said, you know, hadn't had enough, similar to Trudeau, days, poor attendance in Parliament, right? And they throw that and you go, yeah, but this guy does this. No, answer for your lack of attendance at Parliament, and then maybe I'll hear you. What? But if you're not capable of having that debate and you just want to, well, he started it. Well, I have zero confidence in you to run this country at that point. And to me, I didn't necessarily agree with everything Harper wanted to do, but I looked and went, I'd rather have that guy's hands on the wheel than either of these two clowns, right? Like, and sometimes that, and that's exactly what they're trying to paint Trudeau as right now, right? Famous last name, cool haircut, maybe in a couple of years, but right now, he's not ready, stick with us. And I don't necessarily think that's a terrible strategy for them.
No, but that's exactly what I'm talking about, right? Is who wins, who loses, those sorts of things, right?
Do you think the NDP is going to beat the Liberals again?
No.
No.
No, and Thomas Mulcair keeps spouting, right? But
because to me, that was more about Layton than the party.
For sure
it was. He was a great speaker. He was charismatic. People liked to listen to him. He knew how to communicate and connect with people.
Yeah, but more than that, and it's not just that. That's a time and a place. That's voter dissatisfaction with other places.
With the Liberals.
Yeah, you're not gonna see the NDP clean up 50 seats in Quebec again either.
No.
Right. So all those sorts of things, right?
Yeah.
So you know what? So Mulcair can talk about, and he's not wrong. Like he's saying, well, you know, Trudeau is the flavor of the day. Whatever, he needs to be right wing. He needs to be left wing. He needs to be. When the reality is, and Mulcair knows, that the Liberals, it's a very centrist party, right? That's how they get.
Don't you think that's most of Canada wants to be very centrist?
That's why
the Liberals should clean up almost all the time, and they've just blown it so terribly. I think that's this country in a very big way.
Canada says good times, you have a Liberal government; tough times, you have a Conservative government. That's how.
When do we have NDP governments?
Never.
We just don't. That's got to hurt.
Well, but you know, that's what it is, right? When you look at now, they've obviously had some success provincially and whatnot, but you know, too far left wing, right?
Yeah.
For the appetite of most people.
And I think in a lot of cases, despite the fact that we're currently in a Conservative majority government, the right is too far. I think the wide majority of Canadians would be Liberal if they could, but the Liberals have just got no one has any confidence, right? No one believes that they're capable of, you know, that it's, and you'd think if you'd looked at this 10 years ago and said in 10 years we'll have, the Liberals will be led by a Trudeau, you go, they're going to clean up for another decade or two, right? Man, just not the case.
Well, and it's one of those whole things, right?
We want to be conservative with our money, right? We want to treat people the right way. We want to handle healthcare the right way. We want to handle our veterans and the poor, which are kind of left. Like you'd think it should be a Liberal country.
Right. Well, but historically it is. You look, there's been, for longer periods of times, there's been Liberal leaders, right?
But you don't think there's any chance they're taking it this time, do you?
No.
No, me neither.
No. But, like, and you
that's
look
just
at...
strange.
Yeah, but you look at, well, but again, that also trends. Like, look at Mulroney. Landslides.
Yeah.
Now, I know you would have been just a wee spot, but, you know, huge landslide victories and then left the party with crushing, honestly, historical. They left them with two seats.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the ebb and flow of politics, right?
Yeah.
Love you. Ooh, too much.
You blew it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so the ebb and flow as it goes, you go, all right, yeah, we're doing it. But, you know, the whole idea is.
Yeah.
You got to ride it. And so the thing is, and I don't want to get away from this without going back to the first past the post system, right? And so I think what he's speaking about is he would like to go where it's more representative, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You get 40% of the vote, you get 40% of the seats in Parliament, right? And in reality, if you think about it, and some people go, yeah, you know what? And I'm sure people in Western Canada, then that may be Trudeau's way of sort of nod to the West saying, yeah, okay, you know, that election that's done by the time it hits the Manitoba border, yeah, well, this is your chance to – to, you know, your votes to count. When the reality is, now, it may not be as big a deal in Canada because of the number of parties, but you look at where they have places like that, like Italy, they have it where they have 50 parties.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get some votes, you're in. You know what I mean? You get a seat in parliament, right? And so you never have anybody. You know what it's like here. You spoke to it earlier about the whole idea of minority governments.
Right. Just getting turned over and turned
and
over.
Turned over and turned over. How much turnover and how much do you think will actually get done if you have a fractious five parties splitting 100% of the vote?
Yeah.
You know, in terms of how much, you know.
Yeah, terrible.
Terrible.
Not efficient at all.
No, and then there's compromising, and I don't mean compromising in the best sense either, right? Where that's negotiating agreement, but the whole idea is nothing would ever get struck true, right? I think those are ballsy statements, and they're meant to grab attention. But man, you and I are not political giants.
No.
And these are, and so we're sitting here and we're picking these apart.
Yeah.
You know, somebody needs to rein him in.
Right. And I've totally lost my train of thought here, but campaign promises, right? They're made to be fucking broken, like almost all promises.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's kind of what you're waiting to see is, you say it now and you hope to get some attention, but it seems at this point like it's been mostly negative. You know, you've got to keep it in the realm of reality because, as you've pointed out, you and I are not, you know, political scientists or analysts, but even you and I sit here and look at it, that's crap. That's never going to happen, or you don't know what you're talking. Either you don't know what you're talking about or you're lying to me right now. And Canadians aren't stupid. Right. And that's what scares me about his talk about, we're going to make it easier for you to vote, but we're going to make it mandatory. I think it was Churchill's quote who said the best argument against democracy is a 5-minute conversation with the average voter. You kind of go, yeah, right. You should not have the right to determine. You shouldn't have a say in the next leader of this country. Right. So, you know, do you really want it to be at a point where everybody on election day opens their iPhone and a screen comes up and you go, that guy that I've never heard of and that I've followed in no way and have no idea what's, to me, that, to circle back, is how you get to Trump, right? Like, I know that name. I saw him on TV. It was pretty funny when he fired, you know, Gary Busey from The Apprentice. I'll vote for him for president. You go, oh, fuck. Like, no, please put your phone down.
You should not.
You shouldn't have a voice here.
You should not. Honestly, you scare the hell out of me.
And that's what I'm saying. I get a little scared, right? So obviously, we're not talking about two different systems, but I wonder what it means when he says, I'm going to make it easier for you to vote. Are we all going online that day? Will we all have a ballot emailed to us? Is it like stuffing a Major League Baseball All-Star ballot where I can set up 35 different email accounts and vote all those times?
Like Don Cherry.
Yeah.
Don Cherry plug in.
Like, Josh Donaldson.
Yeah. What? Really? Really? Do we need that?
Apparently.
No, we don't. Don, stick to what you know.
What is that?
I definitely enjoyed the white suit with the cherries on it. Honestly, I thought, man, that guy's got huge stones, man, to pull that suit off.
But not huge bouncy boobs.
Not ferociously bouncing boobs. But to pull off a suit like that, come on. Whether it's boobs or balls, stones or whatever you want to call them, that is.
Yeah. There was one other thing that kind of ties both countries together. Since we're talking politics anyway, and if you've stuck with us this long, you must have some kind of interest in it. Have you heard of this Trans-Pacific Partnership?
No.
Otherwise being referred to as the Secret Treaty.
Does it involve oil?
I imagine somewhere everything in the world does, but...
Sure. No, I have. Sure. I don't know anything about that.
This is basically anyone sharing part of the Pacific Ocean, Canada, USA, Mexico. There's a couple of South American nations.
You mean rapists and drug dealers?
I do not.
And a couple of good...
Donald Trump
and
might,
a,
but
And
I,
a couple of good people. Mexicans! Chileans! Argentinians!
Chile was definitely one of them. Japan, Vietnam... Those are good. Everyone,
Korea?
Everyone, Australia. China? No, no China, which is also interesting.
Okay, which is part of the thing.
Yeah. And there's a few things. This is a free trade agreement.
How about Fiji? Were they in there?
Can't remember seeing Fiji.
All right. Fijians.
Kafajiji.
Yes. Kafajiji.
Nope. so it's a free trade agreement with all kinds of stuff loaded into it and with several of the world's largest corporations sitting at the negotiating table.
Coca-Cola?
Probably one of them. Certainly, as you've suggested, some oil companies, which is weird because none of these are huge oil-producing...
Oil-producing
countries. Is it possible that Canada would be the biggest oil-producing company in that group? The Americans obviously produce some off their coast. Japan, Vietnam, South America.
Russia?
Mexico. They're not involved, which is probably also shouldn't be surprising with the Americans at the helm.
Well, Venezuela. Does Venezuela have any foothold on the Pacific? I don't know. But you know what? Yeah, because Canada is definitely one of the top five or six. So yeah. we're right there.
So this thing, I've often, as a teenager, I was into a lot of the punk rock stuff that was don't trust your government and these sorts of things. And so I'm frequently accused by friends and family of being looking for conspiracies. But that was 15 years ago.
Or a poser. Right?
Yes. So, but this isn't a thing. I encourage everybody, if you haven't heard of this, and you probably haven't because no one wants you to hear about this, search this TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership, and check it out because there are some frightening clauses in this. One called an evergreen clause that is being pushed by the Americans in it, in that as pharmaceutical companies currently produce a new drug, they're allowed to sell it for however long, maybe it's 5 years, and then their patent expires because that's good for people, right? For other people to be able to start selling that drug and help make you healthy. This would eliminate that. So after 5 years, you have a patent on the whole thing. You would then roll over your patent into the fact that you're now releasing this drug in a tablet. And 5 years later, when that expires, you're going to release it in a gel cap. So it keeps simply you own it. No one else is allowed to. You can keep rolling over your patents. And it doesn't allow the cost of the drug to come down, which happens in most. So these aren't just throat lozenges. These are sometimes life-saving.
Viagra. You
know, obviously life-saving, marriage-protecting drugs, right? That, you know, that's one kind of element of it. The other one that is more frightening to me than any of the others is the fact that it opens up the option for foreign-based companies to sue governments that make any sort of legislation that would hurt their business. And these cases would no longer be held in those countries' court systems. They would be held by an international tribunal, and you would kind of become like the defendant and the, help me out, the
plaintiff.
Opposite of the, yeah. And so you don't really have a role in the decision anymore. So Canada decides, you know, right now you can't smoke in restaurants, whatever. We're going to ban smoking completely.
Amen.
Marlboro Cigarettes steps up and goes, that kind of hurts our business in your country, and we're going to take you to court for it. It has no bearing anymore on what the voters have said. We voted in a guy who said he's going to do this, and he goes through and he does it, and the court, he gets taken to an international tribunal, and they said, yeah, that's unfair business practice. This sounds very unbelievable. This sounds very, and these are obviously the worst case scenarios, but it does open these doors. And I, again, don't take my word for it. Well, if you're skeptical, go and look at this Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Here's the deal. While you're talking and we're knocking this around,
yeah.
I do a quick search.
Yeah.
First thing that comes up, Huffington Post article. Trans-Pacific Partnership. Unknown to 3/4 of Canadians.
Yeah. This isn't an American thing. If you're in Canada, this is you. This is your country. This is going to affect you. Australia, you. America, you. Japan, you. Vietnam, you. You're all in on this. And the scariest part of it all, when you watch some of these and do some of these readings, Everyone says the scariest part of it is that your government won't talk about it. Why is it being kept so secret?
Yeah, it's
because it's probably bad news.
It's the biggest free trade deal most Canadians have never heard of. That's what it says.
Yeah, and these are the sorts of things that whether it's going to be Trudeau or Harper, or whether it's going to be Jeb Bush or Donald Trump, or
in reverse, it's
or Bedge.
What Beej.
Yeah. Beej.
Yeah. Love Beej. You know,
Hillary Clinton, the biggest set of balls in the Clinton family. No matter who's running America, who's running Australia, this has gone on. This has been negotiated since 2005. So we're talking about different parties from different countries have been looking at doing this for a very long, and it's only in the last couple of years that it's started to come to light. And it's only then been because of WikiLeaks, you know, releasing some government documents, which you can make your own statements on whether you think that's okay or not. But that's the only reason people know at this point, right? Like, it's pretty terrifying stuff that...
There's a pile of stuff that goes on that you have no idea about.
Of course.
But this is a little shocking.
What that means when it comes to light, it is even that more shocking. Like you said... 97, 98, 99% of what happens in the government discussions, no, I have no idea what they're talking about.
Right.
But this, you're talking about fundamental change. A cigarette company, a pharmaceutical company gets to sue the government saying, that decision that you just made for your country, that hurts our business, so we'd like you to take that back. That's a problem for anyone that considers themselves a democratic nation. And that's why it's a little scary.
Slippery slope.
Yeah. And that's why it's a little scary that these major corporations are sitting at the table for these negotiations.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? That's everything. Everything is driven that way, right? The dollar.
Yep. Someday we'll get to that world currency. It'll make us all happy and make us all equal.
Yeah, except you'll only be able to spend it in big cities and whatever else.
It's going to be Bitcoin, right? That's going to be the one.
There you go. Yeah. Scan your ass.
What? So we probably should have just stuck with overly bouncy boobs in video games as some of this stuff got a little bit heavy. Some of it stayed a little lighthearted, but,
boobs.
There's real
boobs have been the consistency right from the beginning of this conversation right to the end.
Right. It's true.
One boob and two shoes. That has sort of carried on throughout the show. There's been a pile of those. Some speaking directly into this microphone.
Or
about, know, exactly. Or it may have been the topic of the two boobs.
From
talking
their beanbag
about
chair.
Exactly. And it's humid.
For sure. So, you know what? There's some... You know, real issues in the world, some things that, but I would encourage you to go and read about the Trans-Pacific Partnership if you haven't yet, because it is real and it is happening to you and your
democratic
country.
Well, those other 75% of Canadians, which includes me, yeah. Right, that's who he's talking about. Take a look at it.
I would suggest you read it.
And you Chileans out there too, please.
Yeah. Well, you're Chilean out.
That's terrible.
Of course it is.
Yes,
it is. There's no recovering from that. That's going to be the end of Audio Whiplash this week, and we'll catch you on the next one.
See ya.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.